Well, we are in a series called Under Construction. You know, there are things that you and I deal with every day in our life, and we are going to be under construction until we get to heaven. So we're talking about a few of those things, and we spent a couple weeks on humility. How many people were here for humility? Right? So we have spent a couple weeks on a probably not a popular subject, but there's a lot to learn in the Bible about it. So today I'm going to talk to you. God wants to speak to you about a lifelong lesson also. Something you're going to be working on your entire life. In fact, it will not finish until you close your eyes here on earth and you open them in heaven when you pass away. We're talking about faithfulness. Faithfulness. Longevity. Steadfast. Going and going and going and going. You see, I love what Pastor Jim says, senior pastor. He says, faithfulness isn't finished till you're finished. Faithfulness is faithfulness is faithfulness. There's not an end time. You can't say, well, I've been faithful in this, so I'm going to quit now. That's not how it works. It would be nice, but that's not how it works. Faithfulness is a lifelong lesson that you and I get to learn. So what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is continually living life, knowing that God is the creator and Jesus is the Son of God. You see, when you have those perspectives, you don't quit. When you actually live life like that, not just know it in your head, not just hear it in a sermon, not just say that you believe it, but when you live your life, when you practice it, when your choices in everyday life live knowing that Jesus is the Son of God and God is the creator, then not only does your life prosper, not only do you get those blessings, but you're able to stay faithful with that. You're able to continue with that. You see, what does that look like? Not just the definition, but what does it look like in your everyday living? It's the choices. It's the way that you raise your kids. It's how you live at your job. It's how you talk behind, you know, not in the church, but outside of the church, being faithful. Because in America, we were built on godly principles, but we now have the choice to leave those godly principles and do what we want. Just because we live in America does not mean that we're Christian. Just because you were raised in church does not mean that you're being faithful to God, but your choices have to line up with that. What you believe, what you say. You see, in life, you're going to see people walk away from God, and it's sometimes the most discouraging thing. Just lately, you know, I've just noticed, wait, what is that person doing? They were serving God before I was serving God. And they're doing what? They're posting what on Facebook? Okay, I mean, something as silly as that can also be so discouraging to your walk with God. And I know this is kind of a funny example, but if you've ever seen Back to the Future, you know, I remember in the movie there was a point where Marty McFly had a picture of his family and he had to save his family, okay? But the people started just disappearing from the picture. You know, sometimes that's how it is with church. You know, you look around you and you think, where was, they used to sit right next to me. They prayed with me. So to say that this subject doesn't apply to you, oh, Pastor Michelle, but I've been serving God for 20 years, for 30 years. You know, we got to be careful. We got to watch ourselves because faithfulness isn't over till we get to heaven, until we've lived our life completely for him. 2 Timothy 3:1, I want to read to you some verses. It says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. That might be happening around here. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And they will act religious, but they will reject the power that God could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes, win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. But you, if you skip the verse down to verse 14, he says, but you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. You know they are true. For you know you can trust those who taught you. We must remain faithful to what we've been taught, to the Word of God, to this right here. This is what's going to keep us straight. This is going to keep us on the road. This is going to keep us on the walk with God. We must remain faithful because there is going to be a new idea. Oh, this is a new thing they found in the Bible when they translated it. This, that, and other, you know, others and backwards and all of a sudden. And all these things and these blog posts and these articles and all this stuff. And there's going to be various teachings that come at you. There's going to be people who say, hey, what I'm saying, you don't need to do that. You just got to believe. Believe, but you don't need to do anything. Your life doesn't have to follow up with that. And you, girlfriend, you've got to dig into the Word and remember the teachings that were taught you so that you do not go off and drift away. You see, I don't want to drift away. Jesus is coming back one day. He is. And I want to remain faithful. I want to stay on the road. And there's going to be temptations and there's going to be desires, but you are strong enough. So my sermon for this morning is to avoid the drift. Because most of the time, it's a drifting. Most of the time, it's not a decision that, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to stop. Most of the time, maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe you've been offended. Maybe a prayer has not been answered yet. And so you continually just drift and float and let the current of the world just take you away from the things of God. And all of a sudden, you say to yourself, how did I get to this place? I haven't been to church when? I haven't prayed to God in how long? I haven't opened the Word in how many months and weeks and years even? And you don't even realize how you got to that spot. So I want to avoid the drift. How many people want to avoid the drift this morning? Let's stay faithful. Number one is that you need to remember why you started. You feel yourself drifting? You've got to remember why you started. Do you remember the day that you started serving Jesus? I do. Do you remember the day and the moment? I remember my first day in children's ministry, and they were baptizing people in the Holy Spirit. I remember this. And I thought to myself, that is so weird and so awesome. How can they be doing that? I don't fully understand, but I want it. And I kept on coming back and kept on coming back. And then in my teenage years, I started doing my own thing. So if your teenagers are doing their own thing, it's okay. All right, Pastor Michelle did it. Pastor Jess did it. Okay, it's going to be all right. They're going to come back. And I remember the day that I rose my hand. It wasn't a special day. It wasn't a conference. It wasn't a special guest speaker. It wasn't a special night. It wasn't a special theme. They didn't bring out a concert. Just a regular church service. And the pastor gave the altar call like I've heard 100 times. And I thought, today's the day. Today's the day that I'm going to start serving God. And I rose my hand and I said the prayer. But something inside of me changed. Because I'd sat in church services over and over and over again. But this time, it was real. This time, I meant it. People come up and they raise their hands and they say a prayer up here at the altar. And they rededicate and rededicate and rededicate over and over and over again. And I question whether you've actually really started. You see, Paul calls it a race. It's a race. You start. The gun goes off. The timer clicks. And you are going. But some people raise their hands and they come to this altar and they didn't even step into the race because it wasn't real. It wasn't sincere. It wasn't genuine. You see, your start needs to happen and you need to actually run. You need to actually go. You need to actually move. You got to leave some stuff behind. Say, oh, Pastor Michelle, you don't know my hangups. That's easy for you to say. You don't know my issues. You don't know the poverty that I'm in. You don't know my husband, okay? You don't know my kids. And yeah, I do start and I do stop and I do start and I do stop because it's hard and it's tough and it's hard to trust God and to give God everything. Well, let me show you a verse. Go ahead and turn to Acts. Turn to Acts. This is one of my favorite verses. It's kind of a strange one, but that's what makes the Bible cool. Okay, in Acts 19, we're going to look at a group of people who just heard about God. They just heard about Jesus. Chapter 19, verse 19. And it says, also many of those who had practiced magic. Well, that's some issues right there, right? I mean, those people have some hangups. Magic, that's intense. That's weird. That's tough. says, so also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of God, the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. It started when they trashed and they burned their past. They let go of their hangups. My night with Jesus Christ, when I got saved, it was a normal night. Normal. Couldn't get more boring. Couldn't be more normal. I went into my room and I pulled out a trash bag. And I pulled out a trash bag and I began to fill up this trash bag. I began to go through my drawers. I began to go through my things. And I filled it up and filled it up. I was surprised how much I filled this thing up. Okay? I didn't know how unsaved I was. And I filled this up and I said, nope, that CD is going to bring me down. I was 16 years old, so I didn't have a cell phone then. You know, cell phones weren't around then. So I took my paper address book and I tore out the ex-boyfriend numbers, okay? And I tore out the friends that I knew I shouldn't be with, and I filled up this trash bag. And I began serving God. And it flourished and it worked. Has it been completely easy? But no, I'm still here, okay? I'm still running the race. You've got to throw some things away. These magicians, people with real spiritual issues, they burned it. They let it go. They trashed it. You've got to let it go. What is so important? What is so valuable about it? You've got to let Jesus Christ handle it. Pull out the trash bag. Take out your cell phone. Now everything's digital. Just delete it, okay? We don't want to know about it. We don't want to see it. Just delete it, all right? Clear that browser history, girlfriend. Okay, let it go. All right? It's not that important. It's kind of like when you lose weight and you have the fat pants. Anybody ever had the fat pants? Okay. Just throw them away. You don't want to go back there. Okay? Throw them away. Trash them. You don't want to go back there. You don't want to go 10 pounds ago. Okay? You don't want to go back to that living. You don't want to live that lifestyle anymore. The saddest thing, and this is what I see when people, they've been serving God for over a decade, a couple decades, and then all of a sudden, I'm just so surprised that they've gone back to the drinking, the smoking, the snorting, the intense sin. They've been dumpster diving. They threw it away. Then they climbed in that dumpster and found it again. And maybe that's where you're at today. And it's shameful. And it's gross, and you can't believe that you're there right now. But I'm telling you right now, you can climb out of that dumpster, you can trash it again, and you can start again. There is a new start. I love what Proverbs says. A righteous man may fall 7 times, but he will get up again. Get up. Get up. You can do it. You know, the Spirit of God is here, and praise and worship was anointed. I was a mess. I was a mess. It was just so anointed. And God is in this room. And I want to ask you right now, this is very strange. This isn't something that I planned. But God is speaking to me, and he's speaking to you too. Maybe I'm talking to you. Maybe you haven't started your walk with God. Maybe you haven't begun serving him. Maybe it has been a little game with you where you go to church every once in a while. You go to church a couple times a year. You feel like you can do your work, put in your penance, you know, earn some points with God by listening to a sermon every once in a while. But that's not going to get you into heaven. You're not in the game. You've got to get in the game. Maybe you've rededicated so many times over and over and over again. I don't know what is your hang up, but God does, and you can trash it today. You can start today. So right now, in your seats, where you're at, if you are not going to heaven, if you've never given God all your heart, all your life, if you haven't started this race, you have not begun faithfulness, then today's your day of salvation. Today's your day where you can start. Today's your day where you can give the Lord all your heart, all your life. Know that you're going to heaven. What an amazing promise to know that you're going to heaven, that God has you, that he holds you, that he loves you. So if you have not given God all your heart, all your life, I want to give you the chance right here, right this morning. We don't usually do this at this time. So this is the Spirit of God speaking to you. This is God opening up a door. Hey, you tried to get out of it. Maybe you leave early before the altar call starts. Hey, God put it right in the middle of the message just for you this morning. And look at the girls around you. Look at the girls around you. They're excited for you. They believe that you can do this. God believes that you can do this with his power working inside of you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. I'm going to hit my hand on my Bible just like this. When you hear this noise, if you are not saved, if you are not going to heaven, hey, Jesus is coming back one day. And if you are not confident that you are born again, leaving your past behind, giving him all your heart, all your life, not some of it. This isn't the same rededication. This isn't the same game that you're playing. This is a for real start. Then I want you to raise your hand when you hear this noise. You say, raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Honey, we want you to do this. We're excited for you. We're praying for you. This is a good time to do it. You say, can't you do the bow your head and close your eyes thing? It's just, you know, so much easier. I know it's easier, but you know what? It's easier to be strong in here, put your hand up, than to be weak out there and to be afraid. Get your hand up on the count of three. From this side, from the front row to the back row, I'm talking to you. Today's your day of salvation. Get ready. One, two, three. Let me see your hands in this place. Let me see your hands. Thank you. There's one, two. Anybody else? Two wise people. Anybody else? You're saying, I wonder if I should. You should. Two wise people giving their heart to God. You're saying, oh, Pastor Michelle, my hangups. Listen, girl, oh God, oh but God, he can help you. Is there anyone else? Two wise people. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. This is what I want to do. We're going to pray real quick, then we're going to jump back in the sermon, okay? So everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. And those of you who rose your hand, I want you to say this with a sincere heart. Say this out loud. Repeat it after me. This is your start with God. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. I give you all my heart. I give you all my life. I thank you that I'm saved, that I'm born again, that I'm going to heaven. This is my start. I'm not stopping. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Praise God. No dumpster diving, okay? No going back. Throw the fat pants out. So number one, to avoid the drift is, you need to remember why you started. Number two is you need to remember that faithfulness is doable. We look at things and we think, that's impossible. That's impossible. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about faithfulness. Living life like you know that God is the creator and Jesus is the Son of God, where your choices line up with that. You're living that way. Your life reflects that. It's not impossible. In Galatians, go ahead and turn there with me. I want you to see it with your own eyes. Galatians 5:22. You know, they're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're born again, which everybody in this room should be. So the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Faithfulness is inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit is there, it's just going to grow out. It's not this insane effort. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm not saying you've got to like work and just work and push out this faithfulness, okay? That's not how it works. When anybody have a garden, anybody's grown a tree, okay? You've seen that you plant a seed, you put it in good dirt, give it water, needs water, and you have the sun shine on it. It just grows. Okay, you're not out there shouting at the sea, come on, baby, you can do it. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Okay, I mean, it just happens. You know, I started this garden. We ended up moving our home to an acre of land. So there's like this huge piece of land that we have. And so I was like, I'm going to start a garden. So I did it last year. It was good, but I learned some things. And so I started planting seeds. I really like to plant seeds because, okay, who does really garden? And you get excited when things start planting, or things start growing, right? And you kind of feel like a garden nerd a little bit because like, this is when gardening gets exciting. Okay. And my husband's like, okay, Michelle. But I bought these seeds just from the dollar store because I was there. And they're just dollar store seeds. They're not expensive. They're not anything special. So I planted a zucchini plant. If you've never started gardening, then start with zucchini because it's complete. It's so easy. So I didn't do much but water it every day and give it sunlight. That's it. Just put it in the backyard in the dirt. I didn't make compost. I didn't even use fertilizer. I just used the dirt. I just said, here's what I have. Because I'm at home now, so like I need a hobby. I need to do something with myself, you know, self, or else I'm going to go crazy. So I started seeing this zucchini grow and grow and grow. And all I did was give it water and put it in the dirt. It was natural for it to grow. So here's my zucchini. It is literally bigger than my third child at this moment. I'm not joking. It's huge. And I took it off the plant to show you, but I probably could have grown longer and longer. I mean, it's just amazing. Because the soil is good, because I watered it, and it stayed in the sun. You want to make it to the end? You want to grow? Plant yourself in a church. Water yourself with the word. Stay in the sun. Stay in the presence of God. It's going to work. It's not rocket science, huh? It just happens. It's part of you. It's part of you. And I know temptation comes. Oh my goodness, the times that you feel like you want to quit. How about when doubt seeps in? How about when somebody tells you, what does this verse mean and how do you mean God's real and you can't answer that? Has that ever happened to you? And you're like, oh, because he's God, okay? And all of a sudden doubt trickles into your heart. That temptation that you said no to over and over and over again, yet it's still at your door. So hard to continue sometimes, but it's doable. You can do it. You know, researchers and scientists have agreed that if you make a decision to do something, then you're more likely to do it. I know, right? Woo, okay. But they also agree that there's a willpower bank inside of every person. That means you only have so much willpower to say no to something in a day. Has anybody ever woke up in the morning and said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels? Then at 9 p.m., you've had 3 bowls of ice cream, okay? And you're like, no, ice cream tastes better than skinny, okay? And you just are like, man, because maybe you didn't make the decision beforehand to not have this, not have that, not have that. You haven't cleared out your cupboards. There's still ice cream in your fridge. So you've got to make decisions beforehand. If you want to work out the next morning, put out your workout clothes that night. So when your alarm goes off, you've already made the decision. Does that make sense? You see, if everyone has willpower inside of them, a little bank, then every decision to say no costs you a dollar. Let's say you have $100. Well, when the bank is up, then you start making some bad decisions, okay? So that's kind of an interesting thought. That's why we encourage teenagers to, and you also, but we do a ceremony of true love waits, where they make a decision to stay pure until they get married, because that decision has already been made. When they're with their boyfriend or their girlfriend at the time, they don't have to make a decision. Should I do this? I've already made the decision. Do you understand? It's easier to say no when you've decided to say no. You go to a family barbecue, not all your family saved. I mean, you used to be able to keep up with the big dogs with the Coronas. You know what I'm saying? That was your past. That was the old you. And they're going to say, hey, you want a drink? But you don't go there anymore because you've made that decision already. Don't say, well, maybe I'll see how I'm feeling. I don't know. I'll see if I'm having a good time. Maybe I'll need a little help with my good time. No, make the decision now. Let the willpower start now so that you can say no to the other stuff. Make those decisions. It's doable. It's doable. You have that inside of you. That's why I love our church, when we make a public commitment to Jesus Christ. A public commitment. It has to start somewhere. It needs to start somewhere so that you know. I want to show you a little video. I think it was in the 70s, they did a thing called the marshmallow test. I don't know if everybody's seen it. But I'll go ahead and let you guys just watch the video. Is the video ready? Let's go ahead and dim the lights and see what happens.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
That was cute. That's how it is sometimes. You know, to remain faithful or not to remain faithful. Sometimes I feel like it's right in front of you, but you know what? We remain faithful here on earth. There's a reward in heaven. We just got to stick in it continually, steadfastly. You know, those who are going through temptation, you know, I have a verse for you. It says here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful. You can get through it. It's doable. You can make it. Don't underestimate the Holy Spirit inside of you. Yeah, on your flesh, yourself, I know it's hard to make it, but with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can do all things. You have that willpower. Number three, remember his promises to the faithful. when you feel like you're drifting away, when you feel like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do, remember his promises to the faithful. That's you. Say, I'm faithful. So these promises apply to you. Write them down. Memorize these scriptures. Go back to it when you're feeling discouraged. You know, number one, or A, and number three is you get to dwell in the presence of the Lord. In Psalms 15, he was saying, who can dwell in the presence of the Lord? And in verse number four, it says, those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord. You and I, when we are faithful followers of him, we get to dwell in the presence of God. Those moments in Starbucks when I see a stranger and the Holy Spirit hits me and says, oh, how I love people. Oh, how I adore people in the human race. There's nothing that compares to that. That moment when you're in worship and God says, baby, your promise is coming. Baby, that answer to that prayer, it's coming. You keep on keeping on. And all of a sudden, every worry, every despair inside of you flees because you know the assurance of the Lord. And your faith grows. That's the presence of God. It gets you where you need to be. It's something that the world does not experience, so they don't publicize it. But you and I know it. You and I feel it. That word that's spoken by the preacher. And you write it down in your Bible. And you go back to it 10 years later and God's done it. You see, that's the presence of God. You get that when you're faithful. You want to be wishy-washy? Then you won't understand it. You want to be here today and gone to Maui, come on Christmas and Easter, say, woo, that was good. And then nothing. You say, I just don't get those Christians, because you need to be faithful and be in the presence of God. It's a promise. He preserves you. He preserves you. Oh, this recession, right? This recession. People have lost jobs. People's marriages have been falling apart because they're fighting over money. Maybe your kids have gone south. You're saying, God, I don't know how much longer I can hold on. No, you can hold on because he preserves you. He's coming. It says in Psalms 31:23, oh, the love of the Lord, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful. He'll keep you. He'll guard you. You pray for your kids, they'll come back. That marriage, it'll get stronger. Be faithful. You know, me and my husband, we get a little irked because people are like, oh, Christian marriages, you know, in the church, they're the same as the world. I don't know when people got that statistic, because recently they've done a poll, and that when you practice Christianity, your marriage is more likely to succeed than the world. 62%. 62%. But it specifically said you cannot just sit in church. You've got to practice it. Be faithful. Do it. Let your life live up with that. I thought that was amazing. Those of you who feel like your marriage is just falling apart, preserve. Preserve. Keep on going. Practice Christianity. Practice the Lord. See, blessings. God's promised us blessing in Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessing. A faithful man will abound with blessing. Believe it. Say it. Blessings. Not just financially is one of them, and I believe that. And you may be going through a valley with your finances. This recession is tough. But I'm telling you, you will walk through it. You'll get through it. But blessings with your kids. Blessings with relationships. Blessing with joy. Blessing with peace. Something that the world can't offer. Hey, a therapist is good, and I'm not knocking therapists, and a pill is good to help you with not thinking about bad things and keeping your joy up, but hey, the blessings of the Lord is great, and it cannot be mimicked, and it cannot be copied, and keep on taking your medication and all that kind of stuff. Keep on seeing your therapist, but I'm telling you, you hold on to this promise. D, increase. Matthew 25:23. His Lord said to him, well done, good and what? Good and what? Faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Oh, be faithful with the little. Be faithful with the little for a long time. Pastor Shaw, I've been faithful with the little for a little time. I'm ready. No, be faithful with the little for a long time, and your increase is coming. Your increase is coming. But with increased blessing also comes increased responsibility and you can handle it. You can handle it because you're faithful. All right? Eternal life. God has promised us eternal life. Revelations 2:10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. This is a letter to the church in the last days in Revelation. And it says that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. We are to be faithful until death and we will receive that crown of life, that salvation. I know it's hard to understand. I know it's tough, but it's true. And you can hold on to that. You can hold on to that promise. God has promised you because you are faithful. Number four, when you feel like you're starting to drift, you need to remember that God uses the faithful. Don't you want to be used in a greater influence? Don't you want to be used in a greater influence? Now, when I say that, sometimes people just think a pulpit. They think, well, Pastor Michelle, I'm never going to preach. So you think this pulpit is what I'm talking about with influence. I'm not just talking about a pulpit. If I were to come down there and move it to you, I would say your influence, your pulpit is to your grandkids. It's to your husband. It's to your children. Your pulpit is to the soccer team that you get to provide snacks for, okay? Your pulpit is at your job, that you get to do it unto the Lord, and people will see that, and it will bless them, and it will be preaching to them, not with words, but in your manners, in what you do. You see, we get confused when we think of ministry and pulpit, but it's right before you every day in what you do. You are important. You have purpose. Ever feel unimportant before? Ever showed up for something and there was like tons of people doing one thing and you said, I'm not needed here. Why did I come here? They don't need me. You are important. You look at this church, this mega church. You think I'm not needed. I'm not needed here. There's so many people here. Oh no. You have purpose and God wants to use you and he uses the faithful. Oh, they always have tons of singers. And tons of, musicians. You know who I love, I just want to say, is Belinda on the bass. You guys see her? I mean, she is like rocking out. She, if I could be as cool as her, okay? But anyways, back to my message. Okay. But God's using her and he can use you. Just recently, we get some heavy stuff people, tell us. Just recently, a person just started serving God Easter. And they were all in. I mean, their family was all in. We see them every service. Their kids, their teenagers come and talk to us. I mean, they are just an amazing family. But just since Easter, so that was April, right? End of April. And all of a sudden, something hit them hard last week. I mean, to the point where your mouth just drops and you think, oh my gosh, these are new believers and I'm so sad that this is happening to them. And she said to us, she said, I don't know what to do. I don't have any friends. I left all my friends. I left the world and I'm here and I'm going through this and I'm alone. What do I do? And we could connect her with faithful, faith-filled, seasoned people who were able to pray for her, who were able to lift her up, who would not leave her by the wayside. See, you are important. You can be that person to somebody. Remember, you were that somebody. Can't you think of the person who you thought, "Woo, I wouldn't be here today if they did not pray for me. I wouldn't be here today if I couldn't call them. I wouldn't be here today if they didn't nag me to come to church over and over and over again." See, you can be that person. God wants to use you, but you've got to be faithful. You have a purpose. And I'm just going to read these verses real quick so I can show you and encourage you that you're needed. It says, for this reason, I sent Timothy to you, who's beloved and a faithful son in the Lord. God used Timothy because he was faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. In Ephesians 6:21, but that you also may know my affairs, know how I'm doing. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Colossians 1:7, as you have also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who is faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Onesimus, a faithful beloved brother who is one in you. And I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. You see, God wants to put you into ministry and increase your influence around you, but you got to be faithful. You've got to be seasoned. You got to know this. You got to believe that God is the creator and Jesus is the Son of God, because then you're able to pray for people right. You're able to give advice to your kids that's godly, not just good, but godly. You're able to love your husband the right way, God's way, instead of being frustrated with him. See, God wants to use you. Number five, the last one. When you feel like you're gonna drift off, when you feel like you wanna quit, remember, God is always faithful. I can't preach this sermon and talk about how faithful we need to be and not talk about how faithful God is. God is faithful. God is there. If you walked in here ready to quit, if you walked in here and you said, this is my last straw, this is my last service, this is the last time I'm gonna open this book, I'm ready to just call it quits. I wanna tell you right now, God is faithful. He's here. You say, oh, Pastor Michelle, in your 32 years of infinite wisdom, you're gonna tell me God is faithful. You don't know what I've been through, okay? Darlene, is God faithful? Yes, he's always faithful. Is he faithful? Is he faithful? He's here. Pastor Deborah, is God faithful? He's faithful. God is faithful. God is good. God will be there for you. You may not feel him sometimes, but that's where you need to stay faithful, because he will come up beside you. He will come up beside you and he will carry you. Give it to him, because he can handle it. Psalms 36:5, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Psalms 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Oh, Pastor Michelle, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do. Then you feed on his faithfulness. Then you realize that he's gonna handle it. You give it to him, he's gonna handle it. Psalms 2:9, this was Hannah's prayer. When she could not have kids and she finally had a son, this is what she said. She said, he will protect his faithful ones. He will protect his faithful ones. 1 Corinthians 10:13, like I said, no temptation has overcome you except which is common to man, but God is faithful. There's been times in prayer where it's been hard, and you sometimes have to forget the etiquette of prayer. Be respectful to God, but be real with God. Say, God, it says you're faithful. I need to feed on your faithfulness, and say these verses to him and remind him of his faithfulness, because he's gonna show you, and you're gonna have testimony after testimony after testimony. But you've got to remind this, get this in your heart. When temptation comes, no, but God is faithful. He will help me through this. Like I said, God is not looking for perfection. He's looking at you and saying, do you believe me? Do you believe that I am the creator? Do you believe that I'm the Son of God? Then live like it continually and steadfastly, and then you're going to be faithful. That's what he's looking for. Life is not a continual climb. We think that every time there's gonna be a victory, woo! Where's the next victory? Woo! Where's the next victory? Woo! And that's not reality, is it? There's victories, and then you go down, and then you go up, and then, oh, the plateaus. Those are the hardest. But God is faithful. And as we are in this series, Under Construction, hey, we're all working on this. We're all working on humility. We're all working on faithfulness, and we're gonna make it. Because I don't want anyone to fade away. Hey, I wanna be at those pearly gates giving you a high five. You giving me a high five, because we are going to make it. Amen. Did you get something out of this today?
Praise God.